thank you to the Christians here for your prayers and encouragement. I really have appreciated sitting and enjoying the ministry with you of these dear brethren, servants of the Lord. May I say, regarding the end of a conference, one of the wonderful things about the Word of God is that even though the seed has been sown and the Word has been received, the blessings that come from such a weekend will continue on, won't they? In fact, the Word doesn't die, and there will be eternal repercussions as a result of this weekend. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, we just like to stay with all the Christians. Well, the Lord's going to give us that opportunity soon enough. But right now, sometimes we feel as if we'd like to, you know, just kind of stay together and not have to go out back into the world again. It's like taking your car for a tune-up. I suppose some of us have lost our spark, and some of us, the springs aren't doing too well, and we're feeling the jolts and jars of life. Maybe some of us need a little help that way, and others of us have other problems, and we come together for the ministry of the Word. Well, you don't go to the mechanic after two or three days, your car in the garage, and say, my, you've done a real fine job there. And you've kept it clean, away from the weather. It's not going to get rusty here. No miles put on it. Why don't I just leave it here? Well, of course not. The reason you have a car is so you can use it. And so we have these opportunities. He restoreth my soul. And we have been refreshed and restored. But now we have the responsibility of laying hold of these truths and finding out indeed that the truths that have been applied to our hearts really work in the world in which we live. Now I'd like to turn with you please to notice in Luke chapter 13 a very solemn passage in the Word of God. Luke chapter 13 And Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, O ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then one statement from verse 29. They shall come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Now the Lord has promised to bless his word to us if we're listening to what he has to say. In Luke chapter 13, we have three distinctive pictures given to us. We have the illustration of a tree that will not bear. A fig tree that is given opportunity after opportunity, and still there is no fruit for the master. A tree that will not bear. And here we have a door that will not open. And at the end of the chapter, we have a city that will not repent. And I would like to spend a little time looking with you at this door. The door is open this evening, but it will not always be open. David Henry Thoreau said, few sounds in life exceed in interest the sound of a knock at the door. And the Lord Jesus brings before us this simple truth. He said, I am the door. Now this door is the door out of failure and loss. It is the door out of sinful living. It is the door out of unrest and enmity with God. It is the door out of earthly disappointment and human failure. And it is the door in. It is the door in to forgiveness of sins and peace with God. It is the door in to fulfillment in this life and the promise of a blessed forever. It is the door in to communion with God and the revelation of His truth through His holy word. It is the door in to companionship with all those who have once entered in by faith. And the Lord Jesus calls to you, and He says the door is open, but someday it will be closed. If you noticed, as we read in the Authorized, there are a string of words that begin with the letter S. And if we could bring them together, I think they would give us a little view of the message that the Lord Jesus had for the people in that day and the message He has for all of us this evening. As He speaks through His holy word, the question is asked of Him, are there few that be saved? This is the great inquiry. You know, that's a good question to ask. What does it mean to be saved? There was a fire over here. I guess over here. And we recognize that fire can be a friend and fire can be a menace. It wasn't so long ago that we were having a rather restless night due to a rather noisy thunderstorm that was crackling around the house. It was quite early in the morning, maybe 5 o'clock, and suddenly there was a tremendous crack and an explosion and a green light kind of that came through the window. And I was just a little bit groggy and had no thought of getting up. But I looked out the window and thought, well, it must have hit the transformer near our home. I was just ready to get back to bed, and I thought, well, I better go out. I know it's raining and all that, but I better take a look. So I pulled on my jeans and I went around the back of the house, and here, lightning had struck our gas line. And there was a flame like a blowtorch. This flame that was blowing out. We had a clapboard house, and it was burning up the side of the house in short order, right beside the bedroom where our children were sleeping. Now, you know, that really, although the world doesn't realize it, that is the predicament in which the world is now. I was in the room, unbeknownst to me, sleeping. And oh, how close is the judgment of God. There are those who think, well, it'll never happen to me. I'm not going to die. It's a long way off, like a lightning bolt out of the sky. Why was our house hit? Of all the houses in the city, why was our house hit? I want to tell you that you can't count on tomorrow. You can't boast of tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen. And just as haphazard as that lightning struck our home, you may be struck down. Now, that's a reality, isn't it? One of us in this room will be the next one of us to go. And so I decided it was no time to roast marshmallows. I went in and called the fire department. Took them a long time to get there. After they got there, they called the gas man. He was there in 2 minutes. Why, it was his gas that they were losing, you see. But I decided I wasn't going to wait around. And so I got out the hose and I hosed it out. And when the big truck finally lumbered up, everything was under control. But you know what the world is doing today? Imagine the scene. Instead of the story as I told it to you, imagine if I had indeed gone into the house, and instead of hurrying my children and my wife out of the house to a safe distance, instead of that, I had called up a friend and run down to the corner store and bought some wieners and marshmallows and brought them back, and we pulled out the lawn chairs and sat around and had a little party. The world is on the brink of destruction, and people are playing their way to hell. Someone has said that this old world is staggering between Vanity Fair and Armageddon. And the judgment of God is right for this old world. Wickedness abounds. We see the moral corruption all around us. And the Lord Jesus says that you need to be saved. Saved from your sins. Just as a man needs to be saved from the fire or saved from drowning in the water, so every soul needs to be saved from sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's a good question to ask. Are there few that be saved? And the Lord Jesus responded by saying, strive to enter in. And he emphasizes here the great importance of this act. Now, he is not saying that by striving, by laboring, you may gain salvation. He is saying mean business about this thing. This matter is far too important to glibly think of maybe sometime down the road I may make my peace with God. You can't do it. But the good news is it's already been done. For when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he made peace through his own precious blood. We find the door mentioned for the first time in the Bible with the first mention of sin. God said to Cain, sin lieth at the door. And we discover that in every heart, in every life, sin is right there. We are intimate with sin. We are sinners by habit, sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners by inclination. Sin is our next door neighbor, and we know it well. And the Lord Jesus says, strive to enter in. Mean business with God. For God meant business when he gave his son to die on that cross. And then will you notice the great issue? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Bible says your sin has separated between you and your God. There's a great wall there. And there's only one door into God's presence. There's only one door. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. No one comes to the Father but by me, he said. And this door that is open today will not be open for long. And then he says, as he underlined the great intention of many people, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We travel back in time and history to the very dawn of this world, and the first two human beings, fresh from the hand of God, they had everything to be thankful for, everything to enjoy, and there was one thing that they must not do, and they did it. And God had to drive them out of the garden, And there he closed the door to fellowship with him. And man has been trying to get back in ever since. You remember what the curse was? To work by the sweat of your brow. Notice how feverishly man is working to computerize his world so he won't have to sweat anymore. To get the machines to do his work. And the sacrifice of millions of babies, just as they sacrificed them at Moloch so long ago, so they are sacrificing at the idol of their own sensuousness. Though we are living in wicked days, and men are trying to get back into paradise, if only the woman did not have to bear children with pain, and if only the man didn't have to work by the sweat of his brow, if he could just live for pleasure and live for himself, maybe he could get back into paradise. But the door is closed. If he tries to come in any other way. But God has swung another door open. We cannot come in through the law. Why, there was the door of the tabernacle. And any who entered in, who were not supposed to be there, any that God had not allowed in, would be judged. You cannot come glibly into the presence of God. There was only one entrance, and that entrance was only made possible by blood. And there is a door. There is a new and living way. And that door has been made possible through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had great intentions. I don't suppose anyone in their right mind would ever plan on being in hell. And there are people there who attended meetings like this. There are people there who heard the gospel. There are people who grew up in Christian homes. There are people who can quote John 3:16 in hell. There are people who intended to get saved. But procrastination has taken many a soul. And they are lost. May I ask you what excuses you use? Think about them for a moment now. What excuses do you have for not coming through that door? There was one long ago who said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And as a doorkeeper, standing at the door tonight and calling you to enter in, I ask you, what good reason do you have for staying outside? Do you know that there were people in the day in which the Lord Jesus lived on earth? And he spoke of them and said that they were making bad excuses. And he told the story of a delicious banquet, a party that had been planned. And the neighbors were invited to come in, and with one consent, they began to make excuses. And one of them said, in effect, well, I bought a piece of land and I'm not sure whether it's swamp. I better go and see it. And another one said, well, I bought a team of oxen. I purchased a new tractor and I haven't given it the test drive yet. And the third one gave the most foolish reason of all, that I have a wife and so I can't come. Did you know every one of those excuses was accepted? Isn't that terrible? To think that you would be closed out from God's presence forever for a bad excuse, and to know it. What excuse do you have? I tell you, there's not one that stands the test. There will be many, I say unto you, who will seek to enter in and shall not be able when once the door is shut. These are not people who attempt now while there's time. If you want to be saved, God will save you tonight. But there will be a time when there will be no more time left, no more opportunity left, and God calls you to face that. Notice the great impact. We've all heard doors slam, haven't we? And sometimes when the door slams, it's the end of a relationship. And sometimes when a door slams, it's an expression of anger. I want to tell you, when this door slams shut, it will send repercussions throughout all eternity. What a terrible sound. What a terrible thought. You might be at the very door's edge and lost. How close can you get? May I tell you how close you can get and still miss it? You can be raised in a Christian home and miss it. You can know the gospel and be able to explain it to someone else and miss it. You can have the impress of the Word of God upon your life and miss it. Balaam spoke the very Word of God, and he perished with the enemy. And Lot's wife, she held the hand of an angel, and she perished. And Judas kissed the very door of heaven, and he went to his own place. Oh, says Paul, I don't want you to be an almost kind of Christian. I want you to be an altogether Christian. Almost, but lost. And then there is the great ingathering. They shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down. Shall sit down. Welcome home, says the Father. This is the place that has been prepared for you. And we will be there forever. I hope you're going to be there. I thank God I'm going to be there, not through any merit of my own. I don't deserve it. And I couldn't do a thing to merit it. The Lord said, there is one requirement for those who want to come through the door. You have to know you're a sinner. And we all qualify, isn't that good news? All have sinned. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he's made the door. He is the door. The door is open. And you may enter in. As you listen to the concluding message, remember it may be your concluding message. It will never get any easier to be saved. This is your golden opportunity. Enter while you may. And you will discover when you enter through that door. You know what you'll discover? You'll discover that what God said is really true after all. And inside that door will be untold blessings you never imagined. And what God wants you to do is to enter in. May the Lord help you to do that as we continue to hear from the Word of God.